Spinner。
人生の中で絶対に叶えたい夢のリスト、
バケットリスト。
ポルシェの創始者フェリー・ポルシェから脈々引き継がれる夢を追い現実にする勇気、そんな夢への熱烈な信念は今もポルシェの大切なミッションです。 Driven by Dreams。 夢を追いかけることで道を切り開き続ける方を様々な業界からお迎えし、これまでに叶えてきた夢の数々、そしてこれから叶えていきたい目標や夢について伺っていきます。
Bucket List Driven by Dreams Powered by Porsche。
さあ本日はなんとスペシャルゲストをお迎えしています。なんとポルシェジャパンの CEO のフィリップ・フォン・ウォッツンドルフさんとお話をしたいと思います。
Alright, so today we have the CEO of Porsche Japan, Philip von Wietzendorf. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Shola.
It's nice、Pleasure. To finally meet you.
Yes, well, I mean, obviously heard the podcast, I heard about you, and now we actually get together and have this podcast, so it's amazing.
Hopefully you heard good things.
Only good things.
Only good things, great, that's what I like to hear. So, Philip, you've been in Japan now for a little over a year. You moved to Japan as the CEO in 2022. How was that transition for you?
So it's been just under a year, actually. So my first Japan birthday is coming up in July. And I mean, obviously, it was quite a transition. There's no doubt about it. I like being abroad, and I like exploring other cultures. So I was obviously very, very open to take on this position here in Japan. But, you know, once you land, you realize when you try to dive into the everyday life and not just being on vacation, there are a few differences. But bottom line, it's been a very positive experience. So that I can truly say, and I'm really happy to be here in Japan and Tokyo.
フィリップさん、2022年の7月にちょうど日本に引っ越してきて、CEO というポジションを務め始めるんですけど、実際こっちに来てどうだったのかってお聞きしたら、いや、基本的に自分はいろんな知らない文化を楽しんだり知っていくのがすごく好きだから、日本に来るのはすごく楽しみだったんだけども、やっぱり実際に仕事になってくると、日々の生活、バケーションじゃない日本を知るというか、毎日毎日の積み重ねでやっぱりそのチャレンジングなものはあったりするけど、日本に来れてすごく嬉しいっていうお話をしています。で、何度かこのポッドキャストでも聞くのが、そのドイツと日本の文化の似た部分があるっていうのをよく聞くので、それについてちょっと聞いてみたいんですけど、
I continue to hear that there are some similarities within the German culture and the Japanese culture. I mean, how did you find that?
Yeah, I can concur to this. I don't want to say it's like very similar. There are a few similarities. Maybe not so much these days anymore. It's like about being disciplined and a little structured and organized. And this is what people say about the Germans as well. But other than that, there's way more differences than similarities that I can clearly say. But it's very positive for the Japanese.
いや、なんかそれ自分もいろいろ聞いてて、その日本とドイツの差とか似てるっていう部分があるっていうんだけど、もちろんその何でしょう、形的には仕事的には似た部分はあるかもしれない。そのディスプリンとストラクチャーっていう言葉が出ましたけど、それ以外は結構違うねっていう。だからね、これはカルチャー的な部分ではかなり違うっていうことだと思うんですよね。で、実際フィリップさんがどういう経緯で、この車業界に入ったのかっていうのを聞いていきたいと思うんですけど、What drew you into the car industry, the automotive industry?
Oh, I think that goes back into my times of being in diapers, actually.
So, in diapers, really? It goes that
yeah,
far back?
Yeah, I'm maybe exaggerating a little bit, but for me, It's always been about cars, and this has nothing to do with my background or my family. So my parents, they had a car, but just to drive from A to B. So there was no business related to cars. There was no special passion, like not at all. But for me, cars were always very fascinating. And being very small child, I already knew very, very early, you know, what kind of models there are. And this kind of continued, and I built up a lot of interest in cars, not as a technician, but just around the car itself, and then growing older around the industry. So I was always very well informed, and it was always the core of my interest.
Wow. Yeah, 実はその車に興味持ち始めたのはまだおむつを履いてる頃で、まあ、実際自分の家族の中に車関係の仕事をしている人もいないし、だからまあ両親の影響とかそういうものはなく、ただ単に小さい時からまあ車は面白いもの、楽しいもの、興味を持っているものっていうことだったそうなんですよね。で、実際も5歳の時に全部もうモデルとかも覚えていて、まあ、両親はそれを見てすごいなこの5歳みたいな感じになってたとおっしゃってるんですけど、そこからだんだんだんだんその車への興味も深まっていて、テクニシャンまでは行かないけど、そのやっぱり車がどういうものなのかっていうのは深くもっと勉強し始めたっていうことなんですよね。 And I mean, you've had quite an interesting life. I mean, I heard that you lived in Thailand when you were younger, and then you were in the military, and you were at other companies. I mean, when you look back on your career path, how has it been? What do you think landed you here?
Well, let's say it's never been boring. And I consider myself a very curious person. So I really like to try things and explore things, especially when it comes to different cultures and even, you know, activities on the sports side as well. So I was always very open, not narrowed down to a certain path. Now, this is good and bad, obviously. Mm. After high school, back in Germany at the time, you had to join the military.
Mm, okay.
That was mandatory for 12 months.
I see.
But I actually enjoyed it. As you said, I was a little bit of a rebel as a teenager. And there I found like, maybe this place could straighten me out a little. And so I signed up for 12 years.
Wow, that's quite a long period.
Yeah, and I became an officer in the mountain infantry. And stayed for 12 years. Went to university during that time as well. And so that was the first part of my career.
Wow. いろいろとフィリップさんのお話を聞いていると、過去を振り返るとタイに住んでた経験もあったり、軍隊にいた話も聞いたっていうですけど、まあ、ここに至るまでどうでしたみたいな感じで聞いたら、基本的に自分はすごくいろんなものに関して興味を持つ人間だと思うっていうお話をしてて、もちろん違う文化を知るのも好きだし、とてもオープンマインドでいろんなことを考えるようにはしている。で、実際にそのドイツではやっぱその軍隊に入らなきゃいけないっていうのがあって、まあマストなのが12ヶ月1年間入るっていうことだったんですけど、まあ、実際自分は軍隊に入ってみてすごく楽しむことができて、あ、これはちょっと自分にいいかもしれない、自分をちょっと変えてくれる場所なのかもしれないっていうことになり、結果12年間軍隊にいたんですよね。で、そこで、まあ、その間大学に行ったりとか、そしてオフィサーになったりっていう、そういう歴史を持っているフィリップさんなんです。で、まあ、いろんなその文化だったり車業界を見てきたフィリップさんなんですけど、その日本ならではの車文化との違いだったりとか、良さっていうことについても聞いてみたいんですけど、 What do you think of the unique Japanese car culture? I mean, is it very different from the rest of the world? How do you see it?
Well, yes, obviously there are differences, and there are nations or people or cultures that appreciate a car more as a fancy kind of product, you know, and then there are others that basically just use it to go from A to B as a transportation mean. And this obviously also has to, you know, do with where is this country positioned, where is this culture positioned. But here in Japan, I believe it's clearly not all about mobility. I mean, if you especially look at the urban areas here in Tokyo, you're better off without a car, to be honest. So what is it that people still buy cars here in Tokyo? So it cannot just be the mean of transportation. So it's the love to an automobile. And I think that is really a big difference here. Japanese can be very passionate about their car. It doesn't always have to be a fancy car, because what I found and realized very, very quickly, you drive in this big city of Tokyo, narrow roads, many cars. You show me cars with stretches and bends, you can hardly find them. And if there is one, I'm pretty sure the accident happened the day before.
So true. That's very true. That's a really good point, because I was raised in Hawaii, and all the cars we saw on the streets were like beat up all the time.
You go to France or Italy, it's a nightmare.
Really? Yeah. Wow, that's really interesting. まあその日本のその車文化をどう見てるかっていうお話に関しては、まあ場所によって例えば本当にラグジュアリーなものとして見てるだけな場所もあれば、本当にモビリティだけとして見ている場所もある。ここからここに行くため。でも例えばこの日本のなんか特に東京とかだと実際に車がない方が生活はしやすい場所じゃない。だけどなんで人が車を買うのかっていうと、やっぱりその車への愛情だったり愛があるから買ってるんだと思うし、よりすごいのが街中を運転してる時にもうちょっとでも引っかき傷がついた車は見たことがないと。いや確かにそうだよねと。私はハワイ出身で、ハワイならもうボコボコの車しか走ってないし、もうなんかペンキも剥がれてるしみたいな。ただいやイタリアとかも一緒だよって言って、そうだなって言って、まあそういう大きな差っていうのはありますよね。だからやっぱこうプレゼンするというか、こう見た目をすごく大切にするっていうのもあるのかなと思うんですけど、 I mean, do you think that has something to do with the aspect of Japanese culture of like presentation, orYou know, you want to show your car at your best?
Yeah, so I find that, you know, the Japanese overall are still very humble people. So it's not about bragging, you know, showing your flashy sports car and making sound and noise about it. I mean, there probably are a few Japanese as well, but that's not the culture. But it's the perfection, the details and the focus on the details, and especially having everything in a perfect shape, and everything's just immaculate. So you see historical cars, you see classic cars here, 30, 40 years old, and you feel like they just left the factory. This is very unique.
そうね、まあ日本人はどちらかというとやっぱ腰は低い人たちだと思うと、だからそこで見て俺の車最高でしょみたいな、そういうパフォーマンスではないけども、その完璧を求めるっていうのが日本人だと思うと、ディテール、あとちゃんと細かい部分まで全てを見てそれを保ちたいっていうのが日本人なんじゃないかっていうお話をしてて、だからこそ日本にいるとすっごく古い車とかがもう完璧な、もう昨日ファクトリーで出来上がったんじゃないかっていう状態で見ることができるっておっしゃってるんですよね。でここで、まあ、もちろんね、いろいろフィリップさんのまあ、歴史の話とかも聞いてきた中で、彼のバケットリストを聞かなきゃいけないなと思うんですけど、 Obviously the podcast is called Bucket List. It seems like you've already checked off quite a lot when in terms of goals in your life, I think, looking from the outside in. I mean, what is your bucket list now?
Well, I know that people have their bucket lists, or you could call it dreams or whatever, and yes, I've done a lot in my life, and I can really happily say, and I'm you know, very humble about this fact, that I've been given a lot of opportunities, and luckily I'm healthy, my family's healthy, so you know, there's no things to worry about, and I'm, you know, very much aware that could be different. So you know, rather than having a bucket list of a gazillion things, it's more of, you know, being healthy and having your kids around, and the kids are healthy and they go their way. And my bucket list is basically, I want that my kids always want to come home, no matter how old I am and or we are, and basically because they like to come home and not because they need to or we pressure them or whatever. So that's my big goal.
Wow. いやすごく素敵な答えが返ってきたんですけど、 まあ本当にね、自分はすごく運よくいいことがいろいろ自分の人生に起きてきたと思う。で、それに関してもすごく自分はラッキーだなっていう意識は常に持っているし、私も健康だし子供たちも健康だし、もうそうじゃない人もたくさんいるから、それだけで結構十分だから、そのもうたくさんの夢をこれとこれとこれをやりたいっていうんではなく、一つ自分として大きな夢っていうのは、自分の子供たちが常に家に帰ってきて自分と会いたい。で、これは帰ってきなさいって言って帰ってくるんじゃなくて、親に会いたいから帰ってきてくれる、そういう環境を保てたら自分としては大きな夢かな、夢がいい夢が叶ったかなっておっしゃってますね。
You know, I really think it says a lot that your dream is about having your kids coming home to you. I think especially when you're working in such a, you know, I think a lot of the automotive industry can be seen as a luxury industry. And I think it really says a lot about your character and what you hold as true importance.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we are in the luxury industry and we want to meet up to these standards. And obviously me being the CEO of Porsche here in Japan, I'm clearly driven by that as well. But in the end, and everybody has to decide for himself or herself what's important. Like if you feel important to have 15 expensive watches or, you know, 25 cars, yes, and if you can afford it, that's all fine. Like everybody has, you know, their personal dreams, and I respect everybody's opinion. Like there's no this is right and this is wrong, right? Yeah, for me these things are nice and amazing, but when you really ask me what is important, like if, you know, what does it come down to, of course I wouldn't mind all these things as well, but if you take them away from me, yeah, I'm not gonna die.
Right.
So, but the other things, I couldn't cope with that. Yeah. You know. So, and I think that's totally fine. And I respect everybody's opinion, and I have my own. And it doesn't. That's not contradictory. It doesn't mean I cannot be in the luxury industry and support it and work for it and live up to it. So, maybe it's even sometimes good to be a little distant.
まあ、先ほどのね、やっぱ自分の夢が子供たちがちゃんと帰ってこれる場所を作るっていう夢に関して、私がいやすごくフィリップさんのキャラクターというか性格がよくわかる答えだと思いますっていう話をして、で特にやっぱり、まあ車業界、まあ、例えばポルシェとかに関してもそうなんですけど、まあ、ラグジュアリーっていうイメージがあって、高いものとか物とか物欲っていうもので考える人もいると思うんですけどっていう話をしたら、いやそうねって、結果やっぱり人は自分にとって何が一番大切なのかっていうのは自分で考えなきゃいけないものだし、お金があってもちろん時計をね15本車を25台持つのは最高、もちろんそれができるんだったらいいし、そういう人の夢ももちろん尊重する、ただ自分にとって自分のコアにあるものは、じゃあ25台の車があってそれが全部なくなった時は、まあ人としては自分は変わらない、でも家族だったり子供たちがいなくなったらそれは自分はもう生きていけないっていう、だからそういうコアのバリューの部分をお話ししてくれてますね。だからといって自分がこういうラグジュアリーの会社で働けないとは思わないし、逆にそういう違う目線を持ってるからできることもたくさんあるっていうお話をしてくださいました。
So maybe let me just add this why Porsche for me is so special in that particular way. I mean obviously Porsche is a luxury vehicle, they're highly priced and there are desired cars, butPorsche has this very unique heritage, this very unique history that kind of stems from a dream of one person, right? Ferry Porsche. And I think that makes it very unique and gives even a luxury article, which is an article basically, even if it's expensive, a completely different soul.And obviously it's not only the cars, everything that comes with it, the people that work for Porsche, but it affects the people that work for Porsche. It affects what the brand tells you. And this is why I really like Porsche also as a luxury brand, maybe more than other luxury brands.
なるほどね。で、まあ、一つ付け足して言うんであれば、もちろんポルシェはラグジュアリーな車っていうのはあるんだけども、一つポルシェが違う部分で言うと、とても個性的な歴史を持っている車の会社で、その歴史をたどると一つの男の人のその魂っていうもの、その人の夢っていうものがベースにあるから、これはもちろんね、自分が乗りたい車がないから作ったっていう、そういうストーリーだと思うんですけど、それがあるからこそラグジュアリーであってもただのラグジュアリーではないと、魂のあるラグジュアリーって、そのストーリー、その歴史があるからこそここで働いてる人をみんな影響していくし、乗ってる人のことも影響している。だからこそ、そのラグジュアリーの車業界の中ではポルシェが一番光ってると思うっていうお話をしてくれました。
I wanted to ask you about, of course, the Porsche festival that we have coming up. It's one of the biggest festivals that you've done in Asia, right? Porsche has done in Asia. So how are you feeling, and you know, what's behind it?
Right now, obviously, just over a week before the actual festival, we're all pretty excited and tense. It is huge. It's a huge event. Is so many people coming. So many things are planned. Weather is one thing that you can influence. And then you need to make sure that everything works out very well. And I really have to say I can rely on an amazing team. They're all working super hard. And we are in a daily exchange. But we're getting also very excited in a positive way. So. Usually this was planned a little different. So we have the Porsche Experience Center in Kizarazu, Chiba. That was opened in the fall of 2021. Obviously, that was still COVID, and at that day, even a typhoon hit when we opened it in October. So it was just a very small cheers to the opening. And originally there was a huge festival planned, and then this got delayed because of COVID, and then we got into the range of 75 years Porsche, and then we said, you know what, let's just combine the two.
Yeah.
So this is what's happening now, because we have 75 years Porsche this year, on June 8th to be exact, and we're now celebrating on June 3rd and 4th. So it is an event, yes, the biggest event in Asia around Porsche, and it's designed to be for all our Porsche customers and fans. So we basically want to, on the one hand, include and involve them, and on the other hand, you know, give back and just have a nice big party festival with family and just enjoying themselves all around the Porsche brand.
まああとね、もう1週間ぐらいしか残りないんだけども、まあ主催してる側としてはすごく楽しみだけど、ちょっと緊張しているっていうお話があって、本当にこれは巨大なフェスになるし、今いろいろプランニング中で、まあみんなが楽しんでもらえるようにいろいろプランニングしてるんだけど、あとはまあ天気次第かな、それだけはコントロールできないっていうお話をしてて、本当に自分たちのチームはみんなすごく今頑張っているっていうお話をしてるんですよね。で、実際このフェスはまあペックで行われるんですけど、ポルシェエクスペリエンスセンター、千葉にあるポルシェエクスペリエンスセンターなんですけど、2021年の秋に、まあ、ここペックがオープンした時にはもう本当にコロナ真っ最中だったんですよね。で、ちょうどそのオープンした時にコロナ真っ最中だけじゃなくて台風も来て、だからせっかくオープンしたのにあんまりね、イエーイっていう感じではなく、とりあえずちっちゃくみんなで、はい、乾杯、おめでとう、お疲れ様みたいな感じで終わってしまい、まあ本当はそのタイミングで大きなフェスをやりたかったんだけど、いろんなそういう事情がありできなく、だんだんだんだんその75周年のアニバーサリーにも近づいてきて、だったらこれを全部一緒にしようと。で、実際そのアニバーサリーが6月の8日なんですけど、今回はその3日と4日でそのセレブレーションをするっていうことで、まあもちろんね、アジア最大級のポルシェのイベントっていうこともあるんですけど、まあポルシェファンの皆さん、ポルシェのドライバーの皆さん、運転しているみんなのために何かをお返ししたい、みんなに楽しんでほしいし、とりあえずみんなが一番楽しめる場を作るように頑張っていますということです。
So what do you expect? I mean, are we going to see you, you know, having a lot of drinks at the festival? I mean, what are you going to be doing at the festival?
Well, I don't know about the drinks, unfortunately, but no, I mean, obviously I'm going to be present the whole time. And yes, I also have a part, obviously, you know, on stage, but this is more welcoming and opening the festival. And other than that, I will leave it to all the people that come to entertain. And then I will be mingling. I'm just, you know, gonna hang out, as you say, with our customers and our fans, and just enjoy the, for sure, hopefully very, very positive, sportive vibe. And yeah, I also asked our dealers, so the representative of Porsche across Japan, they're all invited, obviously, of course, but I asked them to be a co-host, right? Mm. So we represent the brand, and we want to give back to our customers and fans, and we just, you know, want to be there and chat and have a good time.
あの、じゃあどうなの、フィリップさんは、じゃあフェス中はもういっぱい飲んで楽しむんですかって言って、いやいや、ちょっと飲むのはちょっとわからないけど、とりあえず自分ももちろん行くし、あの、本当にみんなといろいろお話しして、ファンの皆さんともお話ししたいし、いる人となるべく共有してトークもしたいっていうお話をしてて、で、今回はそのディーラーの皆さんも、あの、インバイトしていて、それだけではなく一緒にコーホストから一緒に主催するっていう形でやるんで、あの、本当みんなが楽しめるのを楽しみにしてます、ということです。ということで、まあこの辺でフィリップさんとお別れなんですけど、It was really great getting to chat with you finally. I've heard so much and here we are.
Yeah, well, I hope you also heard only good, but no, it's been a pleasure and I think we could do this for another hour.
I know, I don't think one episode is enough really.
Yeah, and I would actually really enjoy it. I have a lot to say and, you know, I like your questions. They get me going because, you know, sometimes I'm not that talkative. So it seems to be a very good a match and I thank you for coming. I thank you that I can be on this podcast today and I yeah, wish you a good time, all the best and See you soon, hopefully.
Yes, あの、嬉しいですね、フィリップさん。これまだまだ1時間も何時間も話せそうだなって言って、いや、本当まだまだトークありそうですねって言ったら、いやいや、なんかいい質問をありがとうって、今日は楽しかったよ。なんかちょっといいあのコンビネーションじゃないっていうお話で。なので、そろそろまた次回会いましょうっていうことでした。And I'll see you at the festival.
Here you go.
このプログラムはスピナーのほか Apple Podcast、Spotify、Amazon Music などで聞くことができます。ぜひ番組をフォローして SNS でもシェアしてください。Thanks for listening!